I'll have to go. Look, can I see you again?
Come back this afternoon, and I'll show you something special about my house. Although it's not as exciting as your Uncle Andrew.
That afternoon, Polly took me up to the top of her house and through a little door into the attic, where she'd made a den. Then I had an idea. If the tunnel went on far enough, we could climb through and perhaps even get in and explore a house further along the row, which had been empty now for ages. Using candles to see by, we set off, carefully counting the numbers of rafters, until I felt sure we were opposite the door into the attic of the empty house.
There's no handle on it.
It wasn't meant to be used from this side. Wait a minute. There's a catch.
Can you do it?
I've nearly got it. There.
Diggory, it's not empty at all. It's full of furniture. I wonder who's living here.
It was shaped, of course, like an attic, but furnished as a sitting room. Every bit of the walls was lined with shelves, and every bit of the shelves was full of books.
It's all right. There's no one here. Let's go in.
But supposing someone comes?
Let's just have a quick look.
So, in we went. A fire was burning in the grate, and in front of the fireplace, with its back towards us, was a large armchair. Between the chair and us, and filling most of the middle of the room, was a big table, piled with all sorts of things.
Here's a microscope.
And just look at all these books. What strange writing.
I wonder what all these symbols mean.
And whatever are these?
There was a bright red wooden tray on the table. And on the tray were a number of coloured rings.
They're in pairs. A yellow one and a green one together. Then a space, then another two. What do you think they're for?
What indeed?
Uncle Andrew!
Well, this is a pleasant surprise, Diggory. There I was, sitting by the fire, never for a moment expecting any company, when, lo and behold, visitors.
I'm sorry, Uncle Andrew. You see, we thought...
Oh, don't worry, my dear boy. I'm delighted to see you. Two children are just what I wanted.
Mr. Ketterly.
Diggory, where are your manners? Aren't you going to introduce me to your young companion?
I'm Polly Plummer, and it's nearly my tea time, so I've got to go home.
Well, not just yet. This is too good an opportunity to miss. You see, I'm in the middle of a great experiment. I've tried it on a guinea pig, and it seemed to work. But then a guinea pig can't tell you anything, and you can't explain to it how to come back.
Look here, Uncle Andrew. It really is tea time, and they'll be looking for us in a moment. You must let us out.
Must?
If you let us go now, we could come back after tea.
Ah. But how do I know that you would?
We give you our word.
Well, if you really must go, I suppose you must.
Thank you, Mr. Ketterly.
But before you go, I must give you a present.
Come on, Polly.
Wouldn't you like one of those rings, Polly, my dear?
Do you mean one of those yellow or green ones? How lovely.
Not a green one. I'm afraid I can't give the green ones away, but I'd be delighted to give you any of the yellow ones.
Polly!
Come and try one on.
That sound, it seems to be getting louder. It's almost as if it were coming from those rings.
What a strange thing to say, my dear. Now, choose any yellow ring you like.
Polly, don't touch them! She's gone! Where is she?
Be quiet! If you start making a noise, your mother will hear.
Polly!
And you know what a fright might do to her.
But what's happened to Polly?
Congratulate me, my dear boy. My experiment has succeeded.
What have you done to her?
Sent her to... Well, to another place.
What do you mean?
Well, I'll tell you all about it. Now, sit down a moment, my boy. Diggory, have you ever heard of old Mrs. Le Fay?
Wasn't she a great aunt or something?
Not exactly. She was my godmother. That's her picture there, on the wall. What's the matter, boy? Don't you like the look of her?